Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you again today. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. I had to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Brother Billy called me and said that he probably would be a little bit late, and if I didn't mind, to go ahead and start. Merry Christmas to you. It's coming. Well, we're ready or not, it's coming. I'm just thankful I know what Christmas is all about. I'm telling you. So, but we do appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour. Appreciate all those who are listening in. Lesson might be a little bit different for we today than something we've done before. But I ask you to remember Brother Bobby Langdon in prayer. And of course, how many in our church family that need our prayer, as much sickness going around. My cataract surgery Wednesday went fine, and I seem to be doing okay with that. It's not back to 100% now. But it's doing pretty good. But just read your bulletin and look at those things that's coming up, and don't be sure not to miss it. Looking forward to Craig and their music and the plays and those things that we're going to be participating in this as we come to the Christmas season. I ask you to bow with them in a word of prayer, and then we'll try to look at our lesson together today. It's again, Lord, we come to you with thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have expressed to us through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose birth we do celebrate this time of year. But Lord, we'd ask that we would not celebrate it just for a little short season, but we would celebrate it each and every day that you bless us to live. Because, Lord, it's because of your Son and your love and his love that's been extended to us, that we have an opportunity to enjoy the things that come with being a child of God. And Lord, I thank you for the peace that you render to us through your Son. I ask, Lord, thy blessings upon this church and upon our pastor and those in leadership. I ask you, Lord, that you be with each one who's standing now before the class and open your precious word, including myself, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might lead and guide and direct, give us understanding, show us the truths thereof, and let us express those truths that we might grow together in the knowledge of your word. Lord, again, for those who have special needs, we lift them up before you today. And Lord, we know that your will in our lives is going to be done. And Lord, we just ask that you'd mold us to those wills. And may each of us, as we are blessed to live our lives daily, live a life that be pleasing to you, bring honor to your names, and that others might see Christ in us. Bless this time together now. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. I have been looking at characters over the years in the birth of Christ as we look at the shepherds and we look at Simeon and we look at the wise men. How many in here have heard me give the message on what they stand for? So we have several and have some that don't. So let's begin. It's one of those things, I don't hardly know which way to go because I've seen something in the study that I definitely want us to look at. We're going to start this morning, and I don't know where I will. I just don't know which way I'm going to go right now, to be honest with you. But let's start and see where the Lord leads us, okay? In the second chapter of Luke. Now, we talked about last Sunday when the Holy Spirit came over Mary and she conceived, and we're to the point now that we're going to bring about the birth of Jesus that we celebrate this Christmas season. And in chapter number 2 of Luke, in first verse, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was made Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And in the world that we live in today, there's still no room for him. Now, I want us to notice, and in verse number 7, and it says, "And she brought her forth her" what? "Her firstborn son. Then she laid him," she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And that's an important statement, because that identifies him to someone. So she's wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She's laid him in a manger. And there's no room anywhere else for him. And it says, "There was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night." Now, we think that these shepherds are near. Now, where are they at? Where are they? Now, it says that Christ was born in Bethlehem. And it says in the same country. So just outside Bethlehem, these are those who are tending to the sheep. And it's been said that they believe these sheep are those who were offered in sacrifices. So these are special shepherds and special sheep that they're looking after. And it says that it's night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. Now, it says the angel, and if we look back, we find, as we were looking at Zechariah, when the angel came and told Zechariah that Elizabeth would have a son, he called his name John, and we find that says that angel was Gabriel. Now, here, as we begin to look at the shepherds, and they're announcing the birth of Christ. And who do you think this angel was? I'll guarantee you this angel was Gabriel. So this angel has announced the first coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, his physical birth, and who's going to announce his next coming? Angel Gabriel is going to announce it also. So they said, "It came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now notice he says it's good tidings, it's of great joy, and it's for who? For all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he's going to announce his birth to these shepherds, but it has to do with the relationship to God with the whole world. Christ came for all. Now, I want you to pay attention to this 11th verse carefully, and this is what got my attention. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? Which is who? Now, What did the angel tell Mary about her son? Let's back over for just a moment. Slip back with me. And I want you to look at verse number 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Okay? Keep that in mind. Now, I want you to go back with me now to Matthew. Go all the way back to Matthew. We go to the first chapter of Matthew. And somewhere around verse number 18 or so. It says the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Now, what I want to call your attention to is verse number 21. Now, this is when the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said that thing that's made was conceived is of the Holy Ghost. And then he says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, in both of these situations, it has been said that you will call his name Jesus. I want you to keep those thoughts in mind. I might come back to that today. I might come back next Sunday. So now back to Luke again. In that 11th verse, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, Jesus. Well, what does it say? A Savior. Which is what? Now, is either one of those names what the angel told Mary and Joseph to name, that he was going to be named? So why is it that when he appeared to the shepherds, he called Savior and Christ? Keep those thoughts in mind. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I want us to look at a few verses here. Now, these shepherds that we see represent the nation of Israel. And you say, why do they represent the nation of Israel? Well, let me read on a little bit, and then we'll come back, because I want us to look at a few verses together this morning. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the baby what? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why do you think that we go back up to verse number 7 and it says when he was born that she did what? She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That was necessary. That was a sign. That's God's plan, that you're going to find the baby. The shepherds are going to find the baby. They're going to find the baby, and he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's going to be lying in a manger. And when you see him, that's him, without question. That's going to be your Savior, that's going to be the Christ. And he said, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly clothes, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe, what? Where? He's lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, or seen it, notice that. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So now they have seen it, and in the process of time, they have made it known. They said he made it known abroad about this child. And all they that heard it did what? wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Now, this particular verse, I want you to pay close attention to. And then we're going to come back and look at some more verses in a reference to verse number 12. It said, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had what? Heard and what? Seen. So they have physically heard it, and they have physically seen it with their eyes. And it says, as it was told to them. Now, I want you to look back at verse number 18, though. And all they that heard it did what? Wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Didn't understand all that's going on. And what we see now with the shepherds, those of you who've been listening to me for all this time know what I'm fixing to say. These shepherds represent the nation of Israel, who have never seen Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. They are still looking for Messiah today. When they have Passover, they'll send the youngest child out of the house, tell him to look up and down the streets and see if you can see Messiah coming. They're still looking for him. Now, they're looking for something physical. Look with me. Look over in John. Let's look at the 6th chapter of John. In verse number 28. John 6, chapter number 28. Then said they unto him, Christ, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jews had always had to do what? When they go to the tabernacle, they did what? They had to always do something. They had to offer the sacrifice and offer the offerings. There's always some physical work, so to speak, involved in it. And now here they've asked the question, what shall we do? And it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye do what? Believe on him whom he hath sent. So now he says there's no work involved in it. It's a belief now. And you're going to believe in who? You're going to believe in him who God has sent. And they said therefore unto him, what? Next word. Sign. What did we just read over when the shepherds? He said, this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the baby. Well, here we are. Well, it's a typical Jew. Then said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then that we may do what? See. We got to have a sign. We need to see something. We want to see it physically with our eyes. And believe thee, what dost thou work? So it's still in a situation like we see. He says, this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a lying in a manger. When you see him, who is that? He says, unto you is born this day, today. Where? In the city of David. Who? A Savior. Which is who? Christ the Lord. And they're still looking for a sign. You know, they didn't much more have to be said as to who he was, what we read a while ago. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7, chapter number 7, verse number 11, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Now look at verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. What sign is he going to show them? You want a sign? The virgin is going to bring forth the son. Well, what have we just looked at over in Luke? A virgin had brought forth the son. And he says, this is the sign. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Well, look over in Matthew chapter number 12. Verse number 38, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. He's 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. While you're in Matthew, go to chapter number 27 in the book of Matthew. And let's look at verse number 43. This is when Christ was hanging on the cross. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he saith, I am the Son of God. What are they still looking for? They're still looking for a sign. He trusted in God. He said he's God's Son. Well, let him deliver him now. If we will have him. For he says, I am the Son of God. That's a strong statement. A strong statement. But they're still saying, show me a sign. Show me a sign. Back to Luke, the second chapter. Let's look at verse number 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Christ's mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a what? A sign which shall be spoken against. Still looking a sign today. They're still looking for Messiah. They're still looking for him in a physical eye. They can see him. They can hear him. They can talk to him. So I believe with all my heart that this, as we look at this, the nation of Israel represents, that the shepherds represent the nation of Israel. But now let's go to verse number 21 in Luke number 2. I want you to pay attention to this one too. Now we've already said that in a dream, God told Moses, told Joseph, excuse me, God told Joseph, you're going to call his name what? Jesus. Told Mary, you're going to call his name what? Jesus. Now tradition was, in the Jewish household, that on the sixth day the male was circumcised, and at that same time he was named. Okay? So 21 in the second chapter of Luke is what we're looking at. And when 8 days were accomplished, for the circumcision of the child. His name was called what? Jesus. Now, I want you to notice in every one of these situations, in the dream, Joseph, his name is going to be called Jesus. It does not say Jesus Christ, does it? It says Jesus. To Mary, it's going to be called Jesus. It does not say Jesus Christ. It says Jesus. It does not say that he's going to be, that the Savior is going to be tied to his name. It does not say Christ is going to be tied to his name. His name is going to be Jesus. And that's what I want us to discuss somewhere. We might not do it today, but if we don't do it today, I want us to look at it next Sunday, Lord willing, we live in, because this is very important when we look at it. But here we find that in the process of the law of and the custom of the Jews, circumcised the eighth day, named, he's called Jesus, which was so named of the angels before he was conceived in the womb. So we're looking at the physical name of a physical man that was born of a Virgin Mary, conceived of God, and his name is Jesus. That's the name of the physical man, Jesus. Keep those things in mind. And it says, when the days of purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And here's the day of purification and all those things that they'd offer to sacrifice. And he says, as it is written in the law, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now, if you go back and you look at what God told that you could offer a sacrifice, which if you didn't have the means to offer the lamb, then you could use that was less expensive, which would be two turtle doves or pigeon. You could use either of those. And when we look at this situation, we find that Mary and Joseph offered what? The lesser of the sacrifices. They didn't have the means to offer the lamb. Then we come to another individual in the picture. And it says, and behold, there was a man in where? Jerusalem. All right, is this not a Jewish city? Is this not where the Jews live? So here is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He's a Jew. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So he's waiting for something that has to do with Israel. And the Holy Ghost was what? Now I want you to notice phrase in this verse. The Holy Ghost is present, but where is the Holy Ghost? Now, we've been talking about the Holy Ghost and the work of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament and New Testament. And we said in the Old Testament that the Holy Ghost came upon, accomplished that God wanted to be accomplished, and then left. And here it says it's upon him. So the Holy Ghost is upon him. And it was revealed unto him by what? By the Holy Ghost. So this is not something that Simeon has thought up himself. This is a direct direction to Simeon by the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. That he should do something. What's he going to do? That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's next word. That don't say Jesus, does it? See, that's what got me looking at this. And that's the reason I wanted to do a study on tie all this together. These names of Christ are so important. These names of Christ, or Jesus, excuse me, these names of Jesus are so important, carry so much meaning. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in God's Word it says, Lord Jesus Christ. But he was told by God, you name him Jesus. Told by Mary, by the angel, says, you call him Jesus. His name's Jesus. And that's what we want to discuss as we come. And it's going to be next Sunday, it looks like. It's amazing what all these things mean and how it all ties together. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to tie all these names together and the meaning of these names. But you see, what we're looking at, as we look at this, we're talking about the birth of Jesus. We're talking about the physical man. And that's the reason Mary and Joseph call him Jesus. But he has reference to other names, because we have seen Christ, we have seen Savior, we've seen all these things mentioned. And that's what I want us to all try to tie together. And I guess, Lord willing, I'll just do a lesson on these names and what they mean. But let's talk about Simeon for just a moment. He said, as see death, behold, he shall have seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, what's the next word? The child, Jesus. Physical. He's the child. He's the one that was physically born. And here he's called Jesus. Okay? To do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph said, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Next phrase. And for a sign. He's a sign to Israel. But Simeon says, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Simeon said, Who is he? Simeon said, he's my salvation. Simeon said, he is the Lord Christ. Simeon said, he's my way to eternal life. So what does Simeon represent? Simeon represents that Jew that in this dispensation of grace that we live in now will see that Christ is the Messiah and will trust in him as his Lord and Savior. And there's a lot of Jews in the world today who has trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he represents them. But we've got some more guys. We've got some wise men. Back up. Let's go back to Matthew now. And let's go to the second chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, these wise men came from where? They came from the east. These are not Jews. These represent Gentiles. They came from the east. They traveled a great distance to get where Christ was, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Anytime you see wise men in a manger scene, it's not gospel. The wise men never got to Christ in a manger. When they got to Christ, he was in a house. When they got to where Christ was, he was close to 2 years old, we think. Have a reason to believe that, too. And where did they see a star? It said they came from the east and they saw a star in the east where they lived. They did not see a star hanging over a manger in Bethlehem. They saw the star where they lived in the east. Now let's continue. And it says, we have come to do what? We have come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, those who supposed to know Scripture and write the Scripture, interpret the Scripture, chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus would be born. Is that what that says? He demanded of them where Christ should be born. He didn't say a thing in the world about Jesus. Christ. Okay? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, thus it is written by the prophets, Scripture, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor. Notice it says a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had probably called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So now Herod, he's called the wise men in to him. And what did he inquire of them about? What's the one question he wants to know? When did you see the star appear? What difference does that make? It made a whole lot of difference to Herod because he made a note, because he had something in mind. You see, when the wise men came, the question they asked, where is he that's King of the Jews? We've come to worship him. That set Herod off. Now, watch this. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for Jesus. You will not find anywhere in the process of this with the wise men that he's been called Jesus a single solitary time. you're going to find 9 times in the scripture as we read on that he had been called a child. Not only had he been called a child, he'd been called a young child every time. He says, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Yeah, he really wanted to worship him, didn't he? We know what he wanted to do. All we got to do is read on. And when they heard the king, they departed. Look at this next phrase. And lo, the what? Which they saw in the where? Went where? Before them. It is a moving star. It had been moving ever since they saw it in the east where they lived. And that star had been moving the whole time. And they have been following the star. And they followed that star. And when they come to Herod, when they were in his presence, for a while they did not see the star. But when they come out of his presence, what does it say? It says they saw that star, and that star is doing something. He said the star that they saw in the east went before them, and it came and stood over the what? The young child, where the young child was. And they saw the star, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, where did that star lead them to? That star led them to the house that a young child is living in. And what's the name of that young child that's living in that house? The name of that young child is Jesus. And we in the dispensation of grace are represented by those wise men. They are Gentiles. We are Gentiles. And that star represents the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. And if you ever get to where Christ is, it's going to be because the Spirit drew you to Him. And if the Spirit don't draw you to Him, you'll never know who He is. You'll never know the name of Christ, the name of Jesus. It says, and when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So now when they got to where Christ was, what did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. And when the Holy Spirit brings us to where Christ is, what do we do? What did you do when He saved you by His marvelous grace? You yielded to Him. And then He says they gave Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We give Him the best we've got as a child of His. It's our responsibility to serve Him and worship Him. There's a whole other story in that we could go to, but anyway. Lord willing, next Sunday we want to talk about those names. Jesus Christ our Lord. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for being with us today.